Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hey there, it's me, Kim the doula. Oh my God, I'm a little out of breath. Have you ever, you book an appointment for service or maintenance on your, say, furnace or things like that, and they like give you a date that's like months in advance. You're like, yeah, no problem, I'll be able. And then like the weekend before, you're like cleaning up all the areas that they're going to go. Well, I've been avoiding phone calls from this like 1-866 number, and it turns out it's for service on my furnace and air conditioner. So they're like, yeah, you can have an appointment today. I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'm a little out of breath running around trying to clear the space that goes down into my basement to my furnace because my son lives down there and the cats hang out there a lot and it's a goddamn nightmare. So if I sound a little bit out of breath and a little bit, I'm actually all hot and sweaty as well. And that's my dog laying down. So yeah. It's been a morning and I have an hour until they come. And of course it's like between 12 and 4. So I'm like, I got to get this podcast done before anybody shows up at my house because I'm actually alone. And the only thing making noise in this house is me and my dog. So this week's podcast, again, short and sweet, bite-sized, is going to be about sort of vaginal exams. Oh my God, vaginal exams. Yes. So I'm calling it vaginal exams, the good, the bad, and the unnecessary. So they're during sort of your pregnancy, you're sort of sent for tests and all these things. And during your labor, you are, there's medical procedures and things that you will have to go through as well. So one of those is going to be vaginal exams, and it is a medical intervention. It isn't necessarily a must-have, but this is often done. So you may have a vaginal exam. You may even have more than one, actually. You may have a vaginal exam in the weeks prior to going into labor. So sometimes, not so much 37, but sometimes 37, 38, 39, when you go into your appointment with your care provider. So the vaginal exam is done with a gloved hand by the doctor or the midwife, and it tells them several things. So this is sort of the reason why they're done. The first being that if your cervix is still hard, they want to know if your cervix is still hard and firm, or if it's all soft and squishy and stretchy like we need it to be. The second is how long and thick it is. So that's the effacement. Is it still long and thick, so nothing is happening, or is it starting to thin out? Thirdly, it will tell them if the cervix is even starting to dilate, which is entirely possible before labor starts. It is entirely possible for your cervix to start thinning and opening in the final weeks of your pregnancy. Doesn't mean you're in labor, though. So it will also tell us about how high your baby is. So your baby's cervical or baby's station within the pelvis. So are they still floating high above the pelvic station, or are they low engaged into the pelvis? So during the end of your pregnancy at the final visits with your care provider, you may be told, at your next visit, we will do a vaginal exam to check your cervix. That might be entirely how they word it. The way this statement is worded, it may seem like it's a mandatory procedure. But it's not. It's actually not. In reality, all vaginal exams are optional. They are entirely optional. So we have to remember too that while we do have benefits of what the vaginal exam will tell us, there are risks as well. And your care provider should tell you about what those risks are. Some of those risks, so for the vaginal exam that's done before labor even begins in, you know, at week say 37 to 40-ish, there is a risk of infection. So because we're invading the space with, even if it's a gloved hand, there's still a risk of infection. There's also the risk of them giving you a sweep or a stretch and sweep, where the care provider basically inserts a finger into the cervix and then sweeps around the top of it to dislodge the membrane from the top of the cervix. This is actually sort of the first step in a medical induction. And doing that could result in a couple of things. It could result in a premature rupture of your waters, spotting, cramping, and whatnot that aren't contractions but could be confused for contractions. That is a medical procedure that requires consent. So they have to tell you about it beforehand, right? So if you agree to have a vaginal exam in, you know, in the first, you know, final weeks of your pregnancy, if you agree to do that, you can ask them to not do a sweep. You can also ask them if they're going to do a sweep and what the benefits and risks are. So you want to know what all the benefits and risks are of a vaginal exam. You also want to know what all the benefits and risks are of a stretch and sweep. And I want to preface by saying that word all. You want to know all of them. Even if they're horrifying, you want to know all of them, because you need to know all of them in order to make the best decision for you and your baby. If you just ask for benefits and risks, I mean, I'm not suggesting that your doctors or, you know, the nurses are horrible people, but there is the potential for them to not give you all of them. They'll tell you the ones that they think will get you to yes. Okay. And there was actually a TikTok, I don't know if they were, I didn't listen to the whole thing because it was kind of a stitch with somebody else. So I don't know if this was a nurse actually saying this or whether this was what she could do, but she doesn't do it that way. And basically it was, you know, basically giving you whatever information you need to hear to get you to agree to the procedure. So that might not include all of the information. So make sure that you're asking for all of the information, okay, on what the benefits and risks are. Now, these vaginal exams could also be actually quite confusing. So doing the ones prior to going into labor can be confusing. You can sometimes be told that your cervix is slightly dilated and thinned out. The care providers can sometimes make comments such as, oh, you're dilated to 2 centimeters and thinned a little. Labor could be close. And this statement is extremely misleading. The only thing vaginal exams can tell us before labor begins is what your cervix is doing at that very moment in time. The cervix is not a crystal ball, and your care providers are terrible fortune tellers. If you're told that your cervix is thinned and opening, and you may think that your labor's imminent. However, you could very well still be pregnant for another 2 to 3 weeks. And this is soul-crushing. The longer you stay pregnant now, knowing this information, you might think that your body's broken and it isn't going to go into labor. And that's entirely untrue. It's not even remotely true. You may potentially be told with this vaginal exam prior to labor that your cervix is still closed, thick and firm. And your care provider may say, oh, your cervix is still closed. And you may think, oh, but shouldn't it be doing something? You know, what's happening? What does that mean? Does it mean that, you know, I'm not going to go into labor? No, it does not mean that at all. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be pregnant for another 2-3 weeks. It also doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to walk out the door and you get home and suddenly you go into labor. It only tells us what is happening right at that moment. It doesn't tell us what's happened before, and it doesn't tell us what's going to happen in the future. So if you do agree to have a vaginal exam before labor begins in the final weeks of your pregnancy, just make sure that you're asking about those benefits and risks. And don't let that information that you get cause any doubts in you about what your body is capable of doing. Okay? Just let it go. Now, once you go into labor, you will likely get a vaginal exam before being admitted into the hospital. Most hospitals will not admit you until you're in active labor, and that's about 5-6 centimeters dilated. This is a good thing, okay? This means that your labor is actively progressing and that you're less likely to get medical interventions to speed up your labor. You will likely not get very many vaginal exams once you're admitted because of the risk of infection, and you can most certainly refuse any vaginal exams or limit the number that you receive, because ultimately this is your vagina, okay? It is not the doctor's vagina, it's not the hospital's vagina, it's yours, and you get to call the shots on how many you have and who does them. If one of the resident doctors or nurses or anyone allowed to do vaginal exams makes you feel uncomfortable, you can ask anyone around you, for example, the head nurse is probably a good option, that you would like to not have them involved in doing any exams or even have them involved in your care at all and have them removed from the care team. You, as the patient, actually have the power here, so remember that. Now, so while vaginal exams, particularly in labor, can be uncomfortable, they can, again, give us some information about labor progress, but they do not have to be quite so frequent, okay? I had a client one time who had gone in believing that they were in labor, and she was having contractions, and of course we weren't 100% sure sort of where she was in the process, but when she got there she was only like 1 centimeter dilated, so they sent her home. Great, no problem. She'd come back again and they had done a vaginal exam, and she was maybe like 3 at that point. So they asked her, instead of sending her home, if she wanted to go for a walk. So she stayed in the hospital and she walked around the hospital for a little bit. And then she, once things sort of picked up, they wanted to check her at like a certain time frame. So she came in and they were going to give another vaginal exam. And they did one, and she was progressed maybe like 3.5, like not a whole lot. So then about an hour later, her contractions were really sort of moving. She actually at that point had asked to go back home. So it was about an hour later after that final vaginal exam, and there she'd had like 3 of them at this point. So she asked to go home, if she could go home and just labor at home a little bit, because she wasn't comfortable and nothing was really progressing. And she felt like things were going to progress better at home. So a resident had come in, and they said, well, yeah, we can send you home, but we just need to do another vaginal exam. And she said, no, I don't want to have another one. I'm concerned about infection and I don't want to have another one. And he said to her, and I kid you not, you don't have a choice. No, she 100% has a choice. So he said that he couldn't send her home. They couldn't send her home unless they knew what was going on with her cervix. Now, keep in mind, an hour before, she'd only been like 3 centimeters, and she did not live far from the hospital. But they said that she had to have it. I can't 100% remember, but I think she begrudgingly let it happen, or agreed to it, and she was very upset about it. She got home and she was very upset about it, and her labor like actually basically stalled at that point. So that whole idea of the doctor saying you don't have a choice, no, that is 100% entirely untrue. Okay, you always have a choice about who's going to put their hand inside your vagina. Good Lord. All right, sorry, off topic. So let's see. So while I have notes. So again, we don't have to do very many of them within the labor setting, and the reason is because we can actually see from the outside of what's going on. I know I've certainly seen practices, not in Toronto where I am, but I have certainly seen practices where, you know, they want to do an exam like almost every hour. That is entirely not necessary, because we can see from the outside about what's going on and assume and make good judgments that labor is progressing. So your contractions are getting longer, stronger, closer together. There's more bloody show. So the more bleeding you have, the more dilated you are. If you start getting nauseous or vomiting, welcome to transition. These are, you know, great sort of things that are pushing you towards the end of your labor. I know they suck, but they are helpful. You know, and when you just start getting very, you know, into yourself and you're not, you know, you don't want to talk to people, you don't want to have people talk to you, everything is irritating you, these are all good signs that things are moving forward. So with all that said, just please remember that with vaginal exams, they do run risks. Yes, they give us information and we're always like, oh my God, I have to have information. But sometimes information isn't always helpful. So I know also as well, one of the things that will happen with midwifery care is it's very common for them to not necessarily tell you how dilated you are. So if they are doing them, and midwifery care will do vaginal exams even less than obstetrical care, but if they do them, they often won't tell you how dilated you are. They'll let you just stay in that laboring zone and do your thing. This is entirely possible to do with obstetrical care. I know not many of us want to do this, but I have had a client who did they were going through their labor and it was obstetrical care and they didn't want to know how dilated they were. They were just so in the groove. Now they told everybody ahead of time that this is what they wanted to do, but during the labor, she was so into herself and in that groove of labor that she never knew how dilated she was until the end. And while it wasn't the plan to go unmedicated, that is actually what ended up happening. Her partner and I were able to know sort of where she was in the process, but she didn't want to know. So that allowed us to sort of, you know, knowing where she was, that allowed us to, you know, be specific in how we were helping her. So yeah, that you don't necessarily have to know. Sometimes knowledge is not power. So just remember that. If you want to do this without knowing, that's entirely possible too. All right. Is that it? Is that all I wanted to say about vaginal exams? I think so. All right. I might have to go have a shower from all the hard work I did cleaning up my basement before the guy came. So I hope that this was helpful. Don't forget, feel free to follow me on Instagram at Toronto Doula Group. You can follow me on TikTok. I have a cool thing I'm doing right now. I'm doing some birth trivia on TikTok. So that would be cool. And you get to see what I look like. usually messy hair and glasses. Yeah, I hope everybody has a really great week. Fall is coming tomorrow, or actually when this airs, it will be astronomical fall, which will be quite cool, the fall equinox. And yeah, I hope everybody has a great day and a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.